So Scott, if you'll go to that blank slide for me, thank you, appreciate it. Oop, we're gonna go back one. So I think we all learn differently. I enjoy board games, card games, different sorts of things. But in learning things, I really need to kind of know the end. What am I trying to do? What am I trying to accomplish before I can understand how to do it? You all might be different. You might enjoy the how to, the it's and bits and pieces and learning all those and then kind of seeing the end game. But I need to know personally the end game. That really helps me. What am I trying to achieve? That could also be part of my personality. I like to go from point A to point B in the quickest distance possible. I tried to fight that as we went on our vacation. We were gone for 2 weeks, taking the camper up through Tennessee into Maryland, Virginia, back down through, and trying to remember, well, there's four other people in the car with me, so it's not all about getting to the Smokies as quickly as possible. Trying to minimize stops at rest areas or gas stations or whatever, but this whole thing is an experience. But today we're going to look at with the end in mind. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to be mostly today in John chapter 15. We'll have some verses on the screen, but I encourage you to follow along with me. We're going to be talking about Jesus as the true vine, but we're going to skip to the end in verse 11, which will be on the screen here. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Let me read that again. These things I have spoken to you. So what the previous 10 verses is coming to this point. So that Jesus' joy may be in us and that your joy may be full. Isn't that a great end game? That's a great result to have your joy full. Especially in this frustrating season of our lives. There's a lot of things that are zapping away our joy, things that are taking us away. But he said, your joy can be full if we do these preceding 10 verses. So this is where we're going to focus on today. Let me pray for our time, and we're going to jump into these and dive into these. Lord, thank you so much that we can have joy. We can have joy despite politics that frustrate us, friends and family that frustrate us, coronavirus that frustrates us, loss of loved ones, sicknesses, illnesses. Lord, there's so much that desires to take our joy away. But Lord, help us to focus in on you. Lord, may you fill us complete with your joy. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, John, could you do me a huge favor? The fire panel over there, I should have silenced it before the service. I forgot that it was beeping. Do you know how to silence it? If you just hit silence and then hit 1 4 times, it should silence it. The back hall right there. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. So we're going to look at our joy being full. So as we turn to the next slide, it's going to go back to verse 1 of chapter 15. And Jesus says this, we get one of his many identities. He says, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener." So before we move on to those next verses, this is one of his many identities. He is the true vine, not just a vine, but the true vine. And so in this context, thank you, John, I really appreciate that. Was it as simple as I hoped it was? Awesome, perfect. So the purpose of the vine is to bring nutrients out to the different branches that go out. It's a conduit to the from the roots to those. So hopefully bring, for if it's grapes, to bring the nutrients so that way the grapes can be full. So this Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And so he is not just any vine here. He is the true vine, the true source, the true conduit to bring us these things that we need. And there's so many things in this world that we can turn to, as you all know, to try to get those things to make us, well, remember the end game, the end point is joy. Often we look for happiness, do we not? We don't look for that joy which is beyond circumstance. We look for happiness. How can I be happy in this situation, or at least have my senses dulled? So we could turn to all sorts of things. We can waste our time on Facebook, on YouTube, on games, on TV, on food, on everything else. Man, I'd only be happy if this political candidate wanes in November. Would we not be happy? Maybe for a brief time. I'd only be happy if everybody believed me, like if COVID went away, if all this other stuff. Well, there's going to be other things tomorrow that'll frustrate us. So Jesus is promising, and so if political success or whatever else, whether worldly things, if that is our source, those are vines. Those are certainly vines which bring things, and a lot of them are necessary. But Jesus says here, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He is the gardener. So if you can see here on this picture behind me, these grapes are actually in that region. They would be lying on the ground mostly. These aren't up. You can see the little metal stakes. So they're holding the vines up. So that way they can produce these wonderful, magnificent grapes. I enjoy going to the Marsh household to spend time with Beatty and Hank. And they have along one of the parts, they're growing their own grapes. I'm not sure what they're making with it, but I think they're just enjoying eating the grapes. But they got these grapes growing, and they're hanging up, and they're beautiful, and it's wonderful. And so Hank is, he's the vine dresser, he's the gardener. But God, he's our ultimate gardener, trying to help us along. And so as we continue on, verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so if we go to that first part of verse 2, there's a little bit of, there's some differences. The translation says, does not bear fruit, it does not bear fruit, he takes away. So actually in this Greek word here, it could be take away, or it can also be, as I believe you all have heard before, lift up. It's translated both ways. He can either, it's a removal, so hey man, connotation here is if I'm not bearing fruit, the Lord is going to take me away, and I don't know if that's eternal or whatever. Certainly, if we're in Christ, we have security in him. But I believe he's saying we'll lift up. So every branch in Jesus, so if we're in Jesus, we have salvation. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. He lifts up why? Well, because he loves us. He lifts us up so that we can be fruitful, we can achieve the purpose that we have. He doesn't come, he's not the ultimate smacking, whack you over the head because you did something foolish, God. Yeah, there's discipline, but he lifts us up. And if we are bearing fruit, he prunes that there could be more fruit. The unfortunate thing about pruning is it gets some of that good stuff too, doesn't it? It goes in so that way there can be more fruit and more fruit born here. And verse 3 says, already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So it said, already, hey, you're already abiding in me. You're clean because of the faith that you have in me. You're already a branch. Verse 4, next slide, he says, here's where we get to kind of the key of all this. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So here's our key to that abiding. How do we get to that joy in the end, that joy in verse 11? It says, well, abide in me, I in you. Abide in me. Remember, the branch can't do anything. We can't just bear fruit. If we cut off the branch, it doesn't do anything further. We need to abide in Jesus, not our political or whatever else, our according to our allegiance, whatever we think is going to best feed us. No, it's a going back to, Lord, what do you want from me? Staying with him, staying connected with him. So we're going to spend the next few weeks, what does that look like? And that's going to be different for a different one of us. We have different personalities. We have different things that resonate with us as far as worship. So you have the sing conference. I imagine there's probably a plethora of different singing worship genres, aren't there, David? And some I would say, man, I'll be honest, I'm not a bluegrass person. If you are, if that resonates with you, go for it. But for me, I'm just not. There's different things. But how do we abide in Jesus? So we're going to spend the next few weeks. How does that play out in our lives? What's some practical steps we can take? But just the truth here. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a pretty black and white statement. It's not that you're gonna do just a little bit. It's going to be significantly diminished. But basically, Jesus is saying you can do nothing of value. You can do nothing of consequence. Eternal consequence apart from me. Yeah, you can have incredible career success. Hitler was a pretty bad guy. Mussolini was a pretty bad guy. But they were rather successful in their genres of what they were trying to accomplish, were they not? They were pretty successful in doing really bad things. But I don't think any of us are going for that. I probably shouldn't use them as a great example. I'm just saying we can have worldly success. You can look at politicians, incredible millionaires out there, different corporations. You can have great worldly success. But is it of any consequence to eternal matters? Is it bearing fruit that for God? He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he is bears much fruit. We've been talking about this as we look at making disciples. That's what we're created to do. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're called to do. In fact, we're going to see that coming up here in a little bit. We're called to bear much fruit. So that's a great fruit for each of us. And we have different talents, different abilities. I believe we're also called to bear fruit using those spiritual gifts that we have. And we have a great difference of gifts in this body. You all don't want me leading worship. I can promise you that. Go talk to Venture Out and ask them if you want me leading your worship. It's less than ideal. We have different things. We have folks with great gifts of mercy. We have others with the gifts of discernment that goes with gifts of service. What is your gift? So as we abide in Jesus each day, Lord, what do you want me to do? All right, you've given me these natural abilities. You've given me these spiritual gifts. You've given me these openings in life, whether it's the work, the family, the community that I'm in. Lord, what do you want me to do with who I am? What do you want me to do with these spiritual gifts? If you don't know your spiritual gifts, come talk to me. I'd love to. We can explore it together. There's a number of tests out there online, but I think a lot of it, it's meant to be explored in community. As people see things in you, you're trying things out. If some things naturally come to the surface. Audrey, can I tell any stories of you right now? Was that a yes?
No.
Yes?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. I'll get your express written consent for a story about you. But we all see in different folks. For example, Fran, she naturally, she's the baking goods, providing for those physical needs, come along and provide that comfort when folks are in need. And the Lord uses us, bearing much fruit in those situations. Others of us, it's kind of funny. So Mike is more of a direct, cut to the chase, sharing the gospel type guy. Fran, I'd say she likes to build the relationships a little bit more. Would you agree with that, Mike? And so, you know, so sometimes there might be a difference of opinion. Okay, here's this opportunity, here's this person who needs Jesus. What's the best way to impact them? I'm sure, you know, Mike will have one way, and Fran will have one, Brian will have one way, and Rachel will have one way, and that's just how we are. But the Lord uses us to bear much fruit. But apart from him, apart from his will, from what he is telling us to do, we can do nothing. Let me give you some examples. I don't know about you, but I'm just not smart enough to do a lot of things. As I read a lot of the Gospels and I see how Jesus reacts to situations, I say, why did he say that? That makes zero sense to me. Clearly, you should say that. Let me start here. Luke chapter 20, verse 1 says, one day as Jesus was teaching the people, we got here the chief priests and scribes, the elders, they came up to him and said to him, tell us by what authority you choose to do these things, or who gave you this authority? Look, God the Father, he is my Father. He sent me here. If you do not remember, a few years ago, I was baptized. I came out of the water. Here's my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. That is the authority, you bozos. How does Jesus respond to them? I mean, does that not seem very clear? Hey, the Father in heaven. It's his authority, and by the way, I'm also God. So it's by my own authority I can do these things. Does anybody remember what Jesus says to them? What does Jesus say? Yeah. He answers their question with another question. He said, I'll ask you a question. Tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? This seems like a great evangelistic opportunity, does it not? Jesus, you're missing it here. And they discussed it with one another. Well, we say from heaven. They'll say, why did you believe him? If we say from man, all the people stone us to death. So they said, we don't know. He says, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Hey, Jesus, you just missed a great opportunity. No, he's abiding in the Father. He's doing and saying exactly what the Father would have him say and do. He knows that it doesn't matter. He could have laid out the gospel clearly and perfectly. He's told them, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they've heard the truth a lot. He wasn't changing their mind. Let's go again, John chapter 3. There's a whole bunch of them, but this is here we have Nicodemus. Anybody remember Nicodemus? He says, comes to him by night, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher and come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. How does Jesus answer him? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He just goes right into it. But born again, I don't believe that anything about born again is mentioned before this. Jesus just dives right in there, takes this aggressive turn. Jesus said to him, well, how can a man be born if he is old? Why would you answer him in kind of some more abstract thought? How can a man be born unless he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He said, truly, truly, unless I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. I think he could have said it other ways, but clearly this is what the Father had laid on his heart. This is what the Father had told him to do. So this is just a reminder. Remember, apart from me, you can do nothing. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, everything is better than our ways. We need to get in contact with him. What might seem wise and good to us might not be God's way at all. Anybody been in those situations? It would have been nice if your house got fixed the first time around, right, Campermans? That would have been ideal. And we all have situations like that. Lord, what are you trying to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I wonder how many opportunities we miss because we're doing it Brian's way or your way instead of God's way. It's tricky. It's tough. He continues in verse 6, next slide. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown to the fire and burned. So those who don't abide, don't remain in him, those who are not of his, talking about the internal condemnation. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this is a great picture of not finally found our magic genie, but rather, man, I am so close with God. I'm right there with him. So our thoughts are coming closer together. I can see it's more about his will than my will. I'm seeing things from his perspective and not my perspective. Hey, Lord, would you do this? And it's done. He's glorified. He's honored in this. In verse 8, next slide, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You can see we're remaining in God. God is glorified. Look at all these wonderful things are happening, not because Brian is smart enough or you're smart enough or you've educated, you're wise enough. No, but we're wise enough to go to the Father. We're walking with him hand in hand. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus produced a lot of fruit in 3 to 4 years of ministry, did he not? Fantastic things in just a short amount of time. Abiding in his love. And so this love, scripture, this agape love is defined. It's about God's seeing that other person's what's best for them, what God's will over my desires. It's this sacrificial idea. So, Lord, it's whatever you want, not just because we have a lot of ideas. We have self-preservation, what's going to be perhaps best for us in the situation, not eternally best necessarily, but this will provide a better outcome. I could tell a little white lie here to get around from getting in trouble with the family. I don't get in trouble with the boss to do this or that. What will God have us do? And this list can go on and on and on. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We remain there. And then verse 11, getting back to where we started, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Is it not the next slide for us, Scott? Did I have other stuff in there? Okay. So this abiding in him. So our joy is full, not when I do what I want, but with it, you know, there's this fantastic, wonderful joy when we're following him, when we're doing things that only he can do, when we're leaning to situations where, this isn't the most comfortable for me. But there's fantastic joy in following him when there's fruit being produced. There's incredible joy in that. But sometimes it's so easy to get slowly off course. I'm going to ask Ken and John to refrain from answering this question because I think you guys know the answer. So if I am on a heading, I'm supposed to go on a heading of 360 degrees, but I'm said I'm 1 degree off, I'm going, say, 359 degrees. After 1 mile, how far am I off? Am I right? You guys probably have a general. So after about 1 mile, how far am I off? If I was trying to go a mile down the road, how far have I missed my target? Any ideas? I'm just 1 degree off. You're 3 miles off? Not quite. Actually, not even close. That was it. Oh, yeah, you've missed it. So after 1 mile, you're 92 feet off. If you're just 1 degree off. So if we're trying to go out of the hospital and Walmart, they're about a mile. Are they maybe a little bit more than a mile? What do you guys think? Somewhere around a mile, right? So if we're trying to go, if you're aiming for Gulf's property and you're 1 degree off, you could end up at Walmart's parking lot, or vice versa. You'd be about 92 feet off to go one side of the road to the other. Both are useful places, but if you have a medical emergency, you don't want to go to Walmart, do you? It's okay, they give away free face masks today, so you might be okay. But if you're in need of food, I'm sure there's a wonderful facility there that makes food, what do you call it, a kitchen. But if you need groceries, the Gulf is not going to help you out. You're going to be a little bit off, 92 feet. After 60 miles, you're a mile off. That's a pretty far discrepancy. So if you just keep on going on that trajectory, so just these slow, by not obeying, Lord, we can slowly deviate, we can slowly get off and off and off because we're following good things and not God things. There's lots of good things in this world, but is it what the Lord is asking us to fight for? So I encourage us, there's so many things begging for our attention. And it's going to be look different for each of us how involved or uninvolved we get, whether it's politics or COVID or all this other nonsense that's going on right now. Lord, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? It's interesting, the Apostle Paul says something very similar in Galatians chapter 5. Is that my next slide, Scott? He says here, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we abide in Jesus, we abide in God, walking by the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, they're three distinct persons of the Trinity, but they're all God. So if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So keep on walking by the flesh. We'll keep on producing the good fruit. It continues on, verse 20. Now he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. I didn't list them out here. It says here, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, blah, blah, blah. We know the fruit of the flesh, do we not? But we like the flesh, don't we? Raise your hand if you like the flesh at times. I'm going to raise my hand. I enjoy the flesh. The flesh gives me more flesh in my midsection. The flesh indulges different thoughts. We don't listen to the flesh because we dislike it. It has some appeal to it. Even if we know, we're smart enough to know this is wrong. But verses 20, 21, 19 tell us, hey, well, here's the fruit. Here's what it's going to produce. It's going to produce, remember, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I go to the flesh, these are all the things I produce. However, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is what? Love. Joy. Oh, there it is, joy. Number two, so if we're abiding in Jesus, we'll get that joy just like Jesus promised in John chapter 15. If I keep on following the flesh, which has so many different facets and everything to it, it's not going to give us that joy that we want, that love. Does anybody want peace in this time? Peace that goes beyond understanding? What about the patience to endure? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody's mouths get them in trouble? You don't have to raise your hand. Mine does too often. But when we're walking with the Spirit, He helps us out. He gives us these things. It's wonderful. So as we conclude the last slide, just want to abide in Christ. It'll produce that fruit. It'll produce that fruit of reproducing Jesus in others. It'll produce that fruit of spreading Jesus' love, whether using our different spiritual gifts, with our different temperaments. I'll tell you, I love the diversity of the body of the Christ, and it also frustrates me. Because not everybody's like me and thinks like me. And so that's frustrating because, you know, we don't think our thoughts because we think we're stupid, do we not? It makes sense to us. So, you know, most of the time I love the diversity of spiritual gifts on our elder board with John, with Mike, with Ken, with Val. There's different spiritual gifts, is there not, with those guys? Different temperaments, different abilities, and each one has been a blessing at some point, and each one has frustrated me at some point, and I can guarantee you I have frustrated each of these men. Say amen. Have I not frustrated you guys at some point? You could say yes, absolutely, because I'm different than them. Thank you, Nod, Tom, for agreeing. Yeah, I'm going to frustrate because I'm not the same as you. You guys are going to frustrate me because you're not the same as me, but we need one another. We absolutely need one another. Maybe I need to dial it back a little bit. Maybe I need some encouragement to move forward. But we're here working together. So we have the friends baking the gifts to minister to people's needs where I wouldn't have thought about doing that, but they need that at that point. We have folks like David and Mike and John who are going to be more evangelistically aggressive when I might want to just kind of step back and let's build this relationship a little bit more. Let's put another year or two into this relationship. No, at some point you got to open up your mouth and share the gospel. So it bears fruit, but it also produces joy. It produces joy. Jesus' joy in you, and our joy may be full by abiding in Christ. We're not going to have joy doing things our way. I wish it were true. Actually, I don't wish it were true, because then we wouldn't rely on God. If I could give everything I needed myself, I wouldn't need God. You wouldn't need God. So I encourage you this week, pursue what does it look like for you to abide in Christ? What is that quiet time? How do you get deeper in your relationship with God? How do you remain in Him during those tough situations? And we'll explore some of those ways in these coming weeks. Let me pray for us. Then we'll have our closing song. Lord, we're thankful that in You we can be complete. In You we are complete while we're still works in progress. Lord, we thank You that You are wonderful, You are kind, You are patient. Lord, that You do lift us up so that way we can bear fruit when we're perhaps stuck in a rut, when we're not where we ought to be. Lord, help us to abide in You, to remain in You, to stay with You during these tough times. There's so much in this world that pulls us different ways. Lord, we lift up to You now. We come to You in unity. Lord, we are to pray for our leaders. So we pray for the leaders of Florida, the United States, the Democrats, the Republicans, the independents, those who might frustrate us and we might call them our enemies, those who we would champion and we would say that we're their biggest supporters. Lord, we pray that You would give them strength and wisdom, discernment, humility to do the right thing for this country. Help us to be the world leaders. Lord, I pray that You would help us as the church to abide in You, because Lord, we know that apart from You, we can do nothing. Help us to be the change in this world that You desperately want us to be. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.